The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have you here. We're live in Columbia, South Carolina, on the campus of the University of South Carolina. Chris Budden joins us as we get you ready for the college football weekend. Of course, Chris getting ready to cover a huge game. Chris, thank you very much for being with us. I find the game you're covering down in Starkville so intriguing. So many storylines, a little bit of desperation from both schools. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Not as in beautiful a place as you are right now, but yeah, definitely some interesting storylines, especially when we found out yesterday after practice that LSU cornerback, who is going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL next year, Derek Stingley Jr., re-injured the injury that kept him out of fall camp. So he is very questionable for Saturday's game, is the wording that Coach O gave us yesterday. So if he doesn't play, that's huge. They didn't have him last year in this game, and Mississippi State threw for over 600 yards in that one.
Chris, let me lengthen that conversation out a little bit, because it seems like LSU has had a string of bad luck with, you know, some with ineligibility, others other injury problems. And you tell us, assuming he doesn't go, and it sounds pretty ominous, how depleted is this football team going to be in really a critical game? Because it's almost impossible to think LSU can come back with what it has left if it loses this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely tough because they lose the heart and soul in terms of their defensive captain. And Andre Anthony last week had a pick six. He was a six-year guy who had a career-ending knee injury. He will be there on the sidelines as a presence, as a coach. But losing Stingley, if he's not able to go tomorrow, will be huge. When you look at what this Mississippi State offense can do, we've already seen they started to roll. I'm not sure what LSU offense can do when Mississippi State, in our opinions, has some of the top two corners in the league. So it'll be a tough battle for LSU tomorrow if Stingley's not able to go.
And let me just go over that again. And I know what Coach O said, and sometimes you're having to do a lot of interpretation, but you tell me, because you're on the sidelines every week. On the scale of sounding really ominous, am I reading this correctly? It doesn't sound very good for Stingley.
It does not. I mean, we were also not told about it in our production call on Thursday. We found out after practice last night. So the phrasing, very questionable when you're talking about someone who did not practice at all during fall camp because of this injury, when you also know what's in store for him being a top 10 potentially draft pick. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him warm up. I do not know if he's even making the trip or not. They would not tell me. It doesn't sound great when you're talking about re-aggravating something that meant that you could not practice and you could not tackle the entirety of fall camp.
No, I think we're all reading it pretty clearly. But the problem, Chris, not to make a speech here, but when information is not shared, we are just grasping for straws to try to figure out what is going to happen. I guess we'll know tomorrow. I mean, I know that sounds so cliche, but is there any reason to think we won't know until we will? Is there any reason to think we'll know until the teams show up at the stadium?
No, I mean, they keep things pretty tight over there at LSU anyway, so I don't think we'll find out. And I do know kind of like what you're alluding to. And I will say this, if he's not able to finish out the rest of the season because of injury, we have talked to NFL scouts that say no matter what, he's already shown on tape that he's a top 10 draft pick. And so I know that that's kind of what the conversation will be going forward, you know, if he's not able to play. So you have to think that that weighs into decision as well in terms of an injury that you've re-aggravated.
Well done. Chris, thank you. Didn't mean to turn you into a doctor on the sidelines, but you have to play one anyway during the games. Hey, great to talk to you. Always yeah. Cool to see you, and we'll talk to you very soon.
You too. Thanks, Paul.
Chris Budden in Starkville. You got it. That is a really interesting story there. I didn't try to make too much out of it, but I don't think you can take that lightly when you're talking about one of the top players in college football, and you really don't know what's going on there. And this is now three players I can think of in particular who are not part of this game tomorrow, who are unlikely to be part of this game that a few weeks ago we were unsure about. Wow, that's a tough blow and a critical game for Coach O. Let's get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. Tim Tebow joining us in just a couple of minutes. I say that for all the people in the audience so they can make sure they get by and try to grab Tebow as he comes on the set. Let's talk to Mike next in Jacksonville. Hey, Mike. Mike, you there?
Yes. Yes, sir. How are you doing, Paul?
Mike, we're doing great. Thank you for calling.
If last year, I think Texas A&M, all the hype they got from last year, they got blew up by Alabama. If Florida had a decent defense last year, they wouldn't even need to talk about A&M of how good they were.
Okay.
I think they're overhyped ever since they beat Florida.
Well, I mean, you say that, but, I mean, they had quite a season last year. And I don't know. I mean, I think tomorrow really is the crucible for A&M. Really, the next 2 weeks are. Because, Mike, if they lose this game tomorrow, then they are absolutely going to have to beat. They have Mississippi State next and then Alabama. That's a pretty that's a dangerous spot to be in to try to salvage your season. Speaking of the Aggies, who our friend Mike just wrote off, Matt is up next in San Antonio. Matt, do you agree with our friend there a minute ago? He's not thinking much of your team.
Mike, we're not an overrated team. This overrated team is Arkansas because everybody thinks they're going to beat A&M, yada, yada, yada. No offense to Arkansas fans. I just have offense to them. We're going to whoop your butt so bad, Arkansas. You're going to climb back home to Arkansas to your mama.
Matt, that's some really in-depth analysis there. Thank you, Matt.
To be honest, you look at Arkansas. All you do is take away their run from Arkansas, and they have no ability, they have no way to run the ball.
I feel like we're on the schoolyard here in third grade. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John. Good afternoon to you.
Oh, my God. I have to foul trash talking, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, let me correct myself. If you'll indulge me, John, I said third grader. I should have said kindergarten.
It was epic. By the way, that is a huge loss for LSU, indeed, considering Mississippi State passes all game long. That should be interesting.
Yeah, I'd heard that yesterday that there was an issue, but when Chris said that, and especially in the way she said it, your mind starts to wonder, and I'm sure the audience could tell where I was going. I mean, you got a guy in Stingley who, had a most interesting year last year, and now with the NFL straight ahead, you really start to have to wonder, what the next move is going to be.
Well, anyways, I wanted to compliment you on John Adams. He's so concise and candid. I just love listening to him.
Yeah, I think what you have in John Adams, John, is the rarest of rare breed, and that is the currently working but old-school sports writer from yesteryear. And I'm not talking about the Grantland Rice days. I'm talking about more of the modern era who has grown up covering the SEC and is not afraid to question the authority, which I think, unfortunately, we don't see much of anymore.
Then you have Mike Griffith, who seems more confusing and maybe a little contradictory at times.
Like,
say, Jim Comey.
I think Mike Griffith eventually will have his own sitcom after the last few weeks on this show.
So let me ask you this before I ask you the big question. You predicted Alabama would win last week or you would quit your job. So who was under more pressure in the fourth quarter, you or Nick Saban trying to save your job?
I think it had to be me. Nick Saban had, he's in good shape regardless. I was not. I'd forgotten I'd said that until you reminded me. You just ruined my day, John.
And then I'm watching thinking, there's Nick Saban coaching to save Paul's job. That's That's a lot of pressure, too. Hey, here's the bigger question. I do not see an elite team this year. Certainly not Alabama at this point, averaging 9 penalties a game. And Georgia hasn't had a really good game to play against, a team to play against. And then I also look at the Heisman candidates, and there's nobody that's consistent. Does this seem like a down year for elite teams and elite Heisman candidates?
Well, I will say this. I think the Heisman hype gets started early and then continues week to week. I was in a meeting earlier, and a couple of guys, Tebow and others, were talking about Matt Corral versus Bryce Young. And John, I sound like a broken record, but it's true. The Heisman race does not really matter at the moment because, you know, I mean, let's say Matt Corral has an off day against Alabama. He can still make it up. Now, what you do now is you establish yourself as one or two or three names. And ultimately, I don't think Heisman voters are particularly sophisticated because there are so many. There are 1,000 people that vote in this. So you tend to just look up and say, okay, who's in the Heisman race? And I mean, most people that vote for the Heisman, I'll include myself in that group, are not able to look at a quarterback tape and break it down like a quarterback or a coach. So there are a lot of things that we don't know. We know what we see on SportsCenter on Saturday night and Sunday morning. We know what we see in the Heisman poll, and that's really about it. Hey, thanks for the call. Must go to a break. Lot to do on the next 3.5 hours. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Tim Tebow will be joining us shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And tomorrow morning it begins at 9 a.m., Marty and McGee, and then at 10. The whole crew will be pretty much like right next to where I am here. SEC Nation live from the Horseshoe at South Carolina. And we are back here in Columbia, and what a great crowd. They are fired up here. Somebody just told me that they're better than Clemson here because they scored more, right? That was it. It's amazing the knowledgeable fans you find along the SEC. Let's get back to the calls, and Turner is up next. Hello, Turner. Good afternoon.
Paul?
Hey there. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you. How are you doing today?
I don't think I could be any better. It's about 74 degrees. I'm on a beautiful college campus, and I really got nothing to do here but talk to callers.
Hey, you like in Columbia?
I just called the local real estate office. I think I'm going to buy a house here.
Hey, you should. We're driving up I-26 right now, about to come to your show.
What did you say? Will Muschamp's house is available?
Yeah, but I got a serious question for you.
With all the with all the money that this university paid Muschamp, he should give me the house.
Oh, I mean, shoot, Lake Murray's a beautiful place. You should go check it out.
I've heard it's nice. So I'm on my way down there as soon as we get off the air.
But I just wanted to ask you a question about, okay, if you were Shane Beamer,
okay,
the head coach of South Carolina.
Yeah, I know.
Position would you focus on the recruiting trail for next year?
Woo. Okay, I'm gonna pose this question to the knowledgeable South Carolina fans. What are your biggest needs here in Columbia? The offensive line, right? Okay.
Yeah. From what I see, that's a damn good answer.
Yeah. Well, that's one reason why I leaned heavily on the crowd, because these are fans here, and I'm just a interloper.
What do you think?
I think
from what you've seen,
I would agree. I think that's how you build a team, and it looks like your quarterback position here is in decent shape, so I wouldn't fret too much over that.
All right. Well, I like that answer, Paul. I thank you for that.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Go Cox.
Go Cox. A lot of noise around this place. Let's continue. Nell is up next. Hey, Nell.
Hello?
Nell, are you there? Good afternoon.
This is Neil in Georgia.
Neil, I'm sorry.
I am a big fan. I'm a big fan of yours. I've watched it. My brother went to Tennessee. Big Tennessee fan. Huge Georgia fan, though. What I'm not understanding is the importance of the Arkansas game and Georgia, why that is a noon game versus a night game. Seems like you'd have a lot bigger audience. Like the South Carolina Georgia game.
Yeah, well, Neil, let me say this, and I'm trying to remember all the games. There are next week happens to be. I mean, this week is not one of the vintage weekends in modern SEC history, but next week is. I'm thinking about the games off the top of my head. You have Alabama, Ole Miss at 3:30. I know you have Auburn and LSU at 9, and then. That noon game, interestingly, is becoming – I don't like it myself, and I know you don't based on your call, but it's becoming a more coveted game. You're seeing Fox, for example, put its best Big Ten and Big 12 games at noon. You know, the SEC has normally not done this, but it is a surprisingly good window. It's not as good as the night, but there is less there's a little less competition, so you're – So you also have you only have so many availabilities, and for some reason next week was one of those weeks where you had the late game. There are only a handful of games that start as late as the Auburn LSU game. So I don't think there were any other good slots. And one other thing, I'm not sure anyone, and it could be it could turn out to be a mistake in the end. If Arkansas beats A&M, that is going to be maybe the biggest game in the country next week. It could be bigger than Ole Miss in Alabama. So we'll just have to see how it falls. But don't think that just because you're playing at noon that means anybody is disrespecting you. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're heading to a break. When we come back, we'll start with our guest list here on the set. It's a pretty good one, including Shane Beamer. But coming up next, Tim Tebow will join us right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
By the way, Paul.
Okay, we're back. We're just talking to some folks here. I'm getting out of the way so we can welcome our next guest into, and that is, as we're live in Columbia, South Carolina. Popular guy in Columbia. They were always thrilled to see Tim Tebow show up at the stadium.
I'll tell you, we always had a lot of really good times here, though. Shoot, playing football, even playing baseball here. Always enjoyed it. This is a great place. I'll tell you, as environments go, I think this is one of the best. You know, one of the best. I love it. Space Odyssey, you know, Sandstorm. I loved it. It was always rocking, and I enjoyed that.
And you always won.
Yes, we did.
Somehow I just took a wild guess that answer would be right. Well, Tim, let's talk about this game for a second, because these fans here, they look to people like you. You give a lot of people around the world hope. Give them something to be hopeful for.
Well, I think, you know, where I would start is is with their head coach and Shane Beamer. I think he's the guy that a lot of people really like, and I think he had a really tough job. He had to rebuild a culture. He had to rebuild a locker room. I think he had average at best talent, and he's got to recruit, and then he's also got to get a buy-in from his team. And I think one thing that they're doing really well is they're playing hard. Now, they've been a little inconsistent at times, but I think they've done pretty good in playing complementary football, offense, defense, and special teams. I think one of the keys is being able to get Luke Doty back healthy and be able to use his athleticism, because I think that could give you a chance in this game, especially in the second half. You have an athletic quarterback that can gain first downs with his legs, because – without that, I don't see a great path to victory. But with his athleticism, because Kentucky plays so soft defensively, and they really make you earn it. They don't give up the big plays. South Carolina had a chance of a lot of big plays against Georgia. They missed several. Against Kentucky, you're not going to get as many because of the scheme they play. So you really got to be very consistent and methodically move the ball down the field.
We're talking to Tim Tebow. That game is tomorrow night. I want to talk to you about another game tomorrow night. And it used to be the premier game in the SEC, Tennessee and Florida. And before we move ahead, we last saw you in Gainesville, and we haven't had a chance, at least here, to get your thoughts on how well the Gators played.
I think the Gators played really well. You fall down 21-3. You're booing your starting quarterback, and you know you're able to rally. And you know if you don't miss an extra point, you're kicking another extra point to tie. What people are saying, by far the number one team in the country is Alabama. And so I think if you're a Gator fan, you have a lot to be encouraged with. But I still think they're getting better. I think they'll be better when they play Georgia. I think they'll be better at the end of the year than they are now. I think the same with Alabama, though. And also, if you see a few of those pass interference calls go the other way, it also could be a different game. And so I think it was, one, a great college football game, but two, I think something that both of those teams are going to learn a lot from to tweak and adjust, because that was very scary for Alabama, and it was something that was very encouraging for Florida.
When you play a game like that from an Alabama standpoint, what does it do to you as you move on to the next week? And because Alabama, not this week.
If you're Florida?
You know, for Alabama, next week has Ole Miss, and then the following week, Texas A&M. I mean, they really they've seen a really good team in Florida. But what is it? Does that help you? Or does it learn stuff about yourself?
Absolutely helps you. You learn how you handle in certain situations. If you're their offense, you have chances to put Florida away, and you don't do it. You get stopped multiple times when you have a chance to really seal that game. You know, if you're the OC, you're sitting your guys saying, hey, we have this opportunity, and you let it slip through. You gave them a chance, you know. And so I think offense, defense, you know, there's so much that they can learn from. But I would say one of the biggest things is, when's the last time an Alabama offense and defensive line has gotten matched in their physicality? And I would say at worst, they got matched.
Yeah.
At best, Florida was more physical.
Yeah.
You know, and that just doesn't happen to Alabama. And so you got to ask yourself, you know, is this just a little bit more parity in college football? Did it have a little bit to do with Dan Mullen scheming them up and designing some really good plays? And I think when you look at, you know, Alabama getting ready for Ole Miss next week, you know, is Lane drawing up some of those similar things to take some of those concepts?
The other side of the game tomorrow night in the Swamp, Tennessee, I want to get your thoughts on, you know, everybody always tries to, you mentioned a path to victory for South Carolina tomorrow night. What is Tennessee's path?
I think it's big plays. I think it's one of the things that Coach Heupel does is he takes huge splits, the widest in college football, and they go vertical all the time. Against Pitt, they missed at least 7 deep shots. They missed, right? If you hit 3 or 4 of them, that changes the game. So if you're facing a team like Florida that I think is better at almost every you know, facet of the game, you have to take your chances in that to be able to hit. And if they did, but this is also such a rivalry game that anything can happen. Even though it's not what it once was, this is still one of those games that, even though it's in Gainesville at night, listen, when these two teams, they can't stand each other. They know that, and they know there's bad blood. But if Tennessee can get off to a hot start, then I think you can see a 4-quarter game.
From the Florida standpoint, I think conventional wisdom is that you come off of a game like Alabama and you're seeing stars. But you also, it is, you mentioned it's a rivalry game, but you also feel, you don't feel better about yourself, but you know you're capable of going against the best team in the country. How does that carry over? Are you eager to get out there the next week?
I think that depends on your leadership. And from what I heard, I think they had their best practice the entire spring or fall on Monday,
right?
Because they were more encouraged from how they played against Bama. So if they can carry that over into a great performance against Tennessee, well, also you can build on that for the next week, the next week, and then ultimately to probably the most important game on the schedule, and that's Georgia and Jacksonville.
Huge game tomorrow morning in Starkville. We just talked to Chris Budden. There's some doubt Derek Stingley Jr. is going to be available. We don't need to tell the audience how great he is, but how does that change the game if he doesn't play?
Well, you're missing one of the best players in college football. And also when Mississippi State runs so many crossing patterns, and if LSU's playing man, it's just it's really hard to overcome someone like that. But I think the biggest question mark for me is LSU's offense against this Mississippi State defense. Mississippi State defense is a really good defense, and that's going to be a really fun matchup for me to see. Has this LSU offense that really did not look good against UCLA a couple weeks ago, you know, are they going to be able to figure out a little bit the way they were playing at the end of last season?
Talking to Tim Tebow here for a few more moments, the biggest game according to rankings is tomorrow afternoon in Arlington. You have A&M, which is a, you know, we have a quarterback situation there that we're watching very closely, and then Arkansas, which everyone loves.
I mean, I do too. I just, and it's not because I think they're one of the best teams. It's because you can't help but like their culture, their coaching staff, their players. They play so hard. When you watch that defense, you can't help but root for them. I mean, everyone flies around, you know, and they play team defense, and it's just, it's awesome to be able to watch. And I do think they're probably a legit top 15 team. The question mark in this game is their offense, right? They're able to get away with it a little bit against Texas because the momentum, and Texas dropped a punt. They had some easy scores. But when they have to go, you know, 60, 70, 80 yards, can Arkansas sustain those drives in a big game? And then on the other side, you know, there's a lot of question marks for A&M's offense. Yes, I know they got some really good skill players in their backs. Their offensive line is not what they were last year. Their quarterback and Zach Calzada is not what Kellen Mond was last year. And so they got to figure some things out. There's a lot of question marks in this game, and that's why I'm excited to see it. You know, who's going to be really able to fill those gaps?
Talking to Tim Tebow here for a couple of minutes. We'll circle back to where we began because these folks here – continue to believe in the South Carolina Gamecocks. Let's talk about Doty for a second because he was hurt early on. We haven't seen as much of him as the fans hope. What do you see when you watch him play?
Well, I think someone that has a better deep ball than a lot of the experts give him credit for. I think he throws that well. I think he missed a couple of them last week. But I do think he throws it pretty well. I think he's very athletic. But I want to see him when it's his team, when it's his opportunity, when he gets to play 4 quarters in big time SEC football. How do you handle that pressure? How do you handle that hype? You know, I think he's got all the gifts. I think he has all the abilities that it takes to be a successful SEC quarterback. Now it's, do you have the mindset? Can you handle the pressure? Can you handle the crowd? Can you handle your home crowds, opposing crowds, the big moments? And I think that is the biggest question mark for him. I'm excited to see him because I think he brings something different to this offense than anybody they've had in a long time. And I think he's got a little bit of Steven Garcia in him, a little bit of Connor Shaw in him. you know, Steven Garcia was hype, but Connor Shaw wasn't that hype. But all Connor Shaw did was freaking go out there and win over and over and over again. And that's why I doesn't to me, whatever they're ranked in high school, I don't care. You know, I played with five stars and I played with no stars. And it's what can you do now? How have you developed? And so when I look at him, I see someone that can do all of that. Now, in the bright lights, will he?
Tim Tebow giving folks reason to believe, and very well. Thank you very much, Tim. I always enjoy seeing you on Friday.
Thanks, Paul.
Tim Tebow joining us. We have a long way to go.
Hi, Vanessa.
We are. Vanessa, are you doing okay?
Vanessa's happy.
Okay. We're coming right back as Tebow wows the crowd.